So, take a moment and notice what's actually happening here. Notice that their body's sitting in a room. Bodies sitting on sofas, chairs, cushions. That's what's happening. Some sensations there at the butt. Maybe they're the most distinct contact with the cushion, the chair, sofa. That's what's happening. Sounds are happening. Sounds in a house. Nature sounds. And then inside the body, yeah? Feelings, different kinds of feelings, sensations happening. That's what's happening. Thoughts. Thoughts might be happening. Thoughts might be arising. Some sense of awareness of these things that I'm mentioning that are happening. Some sense of awareness, watching of these things. This is what's happening. And if you were to look at a day in your life, today, tomorrow, any day, these things that I'm mentioning would be what's happening. Add to it talking, movement of the body, activities of different kinds. But at the base, body, sounds, feelings, thoughts, awareness, and then a very interesting area, of course, that moves around quite a bit more when we're not formally meditating, seeing with the eyes, hearing, already mentioned that, smelling, tasting, and this sort of animation of the body and the sense organs into the so-called environment. That's what's happening. Keeps changing and moving around. Different formulations of this. I want to talk tonight about the myth of individuality. Where's the individual in this that I've just described? Body sitting in a room, other bodies, cats stampeding through the room. Actually, sometimes an image arises. There was an image towards the end of the sitting that the cat was going to barrel straight into me and knock me over. Kind of funny. Knocked over by a cat. Where's the individual? To that which I've been describing, you know, body, sounds, sense experience, thoughts, feelings, so forth, there's this added thing that's very, very, very common and popular. In fact, there are very few human bodies that aren't walking around tonight, sitting around tonight, breathing around tonight, lying around tonight, talking around tonight. Very few human bodies that don't believe, and sometimes totally believe, that there's an individual inside here. But look closely, and where is this individual? Just totally simple. Look and see if you can find the individual. Can't find it, huh? Anybody find it? Where's the individual? Is the name that was given to you, or maybe you changed your name, is that the individual? No, that's a name. That's a word. That's a thought. It's a singular word thought. Paul. Anna. Ibi. Cat. There's no individual in there. There's an animation. There's a... Sorry. Talking about you. We easily, unbeknownst to ourselves, osmotically, to use a biological term, have inherited the sense that I am an individual in here, and it doesn't stop there. I have to negotiate, manage, figure out, sort out what? Myself. My life, my existence, my place, my role, my, and fill it in. Consider this. If you can't find the individual in here, doesn't that tell us something right there? The Tibetan tradition is rich, Tibetan Buddhist tradition is rich with so many different nuances of freedom. One of the first Tibetan Buddhist teachers to come to America, Trungpa Rinpoche, has passed away some time back, wrote a book called The Myth of Freedom. The Myth of Freedom. And what he did in that book, among other things, is he went at these projections, these conceptualizations, these beliefs, these crystallized, even deeply held and cherished beliefs about freedom. Just went straight at it. Here's one. Freedom is not some imagined, glorified picture in your mind of perfect goodness. Everything's good in freedom. That's a myth. Another myth. Feeling no discomfort, although is a kind of openness, you might say, or a kind of ease in the body, is not freedom. Believing that you're an individual and that you can achieve freedom is another myth. Having things your way, in whatever form that takes, and keeping them, it's another myth, here's the biggie now. The myth that you, whatever you think you are, and I've suggested that often people think they're an individual, can't wake up. In other words, cannot realize what freedom is. Because the individual perception is what obscures freedom. Until that individual perception is cut loose from its tethered nature as the centrality of what I am, and don't forget it can't be found, and then it can float free. It doesn't matter what it thinks it is, but when it's centralized, I'm this. What's so ironic and so paradoxical is that it can't be found. This is not my shirt. This is a shirt made of cloth, different colors. Notice the fixation that what the body is wearing now is yours. That's just an idea. But notice how much of life is organized around mine. That's the proliferation of the individual that doesn't actually exist. And the reason why it doesn't actually exist is because it can't be found. If something exists, you ought to be able to find it, right? Kind of simple. So we're sitting right now in what the Tibetans said when they said, liberation or freedom seems difficult because it's too close to see. It's too close, therefore it can't be seen. Now what that points at, perhaps, I'm not sure what it does for you, is that if you believe you are an individual without having actually taken the consideration to check that out, then that will obscure what? What will that obscure?
Freedom.
Yeah. It will obscure, actually, life. It will complicate life. This is very tricky, though, because if you ask people to tell you about themselves in different ways, anybody pretty much, what they will do is talk to you about the perception of their life from the individual vantage point, or the relational vantage point, or the we, the collective vantage point. The I, yeah, the us, the we. How else do you talk about yourself or your life if you don't do that? Or when somebody, in this case tonight, says, what's in this room? Body sitting. Can you find anybody that owns this? Can you find anybody that can keep this? Can you keep this the same for even a half a day? Can you keep anything in here the same? Now for some people, this, and here again I've used this concept, didn't I? Some people, how do I talk about us? Blobs. Or in Buddhism sometimes they call these things heaps. One heap talking to another. Heap number one. Big heap, little heap, wrinkly heap, crusty heap, tired heap. I listened to a talk about this once from this scholar, Robert Thurman, and he's talking about heaps. And he's going into depth, scholarly depth about heaps, and my body's going like this. It's a hypnotic induction, heaps. In a way, it's an interesting term, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. A heap of sensation, a heap of thought, a heap of perception. Okay, so perception. Ah! I am the one perceiving things. Yes, that's what I am. I figured it out. The answer to the question, who are you? I am the one perceiving. Look closely. Where's the one perceiving? Where's the perceiver? See, this is pointing at emptiness. But this form, yeah, these forms that are sitting here, are empty of what? Of individuality. Of an I, me, or mine. Ha! But this is my recorder. Touch it. It's mine. And if Peter came and took it from me, and then I needed it, all of a sudden, we've got a problem here. Looking, what is it? Mind makes up stories in those moments. Somebody stole it. The city's full of criminals. They're encroaching. My neighborhood used to be safe. I need to move. Lock my door. Oh, wait. It's just a recorder. I can get another one. Doesn't matter. It was only, what, $50? Not that much. Wait a minute. $50? $50 now? It's different than $50 yesterday. I don't have $50. I'm going to steal it. $50. Go into my roommate's drawer. No, it's unethical. Don't do it. If you watch your mind, you'll see it has no pride. It'll say anything. If you did those things that your mind said, we're screwed. Collectively, totally screwed. Can you imagine? Everybody cuts loose right now, completely. No inhibition. Whatever comes up, you must do it. It's pretty frightening. Because of what? We're wild, creative, so dynamic in our potential beings, that for that to be so unleashed, collectively, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, would we be in chaos? Yes, we are already. It's managed chaos. What happens in the opening up to things, and some people call that meditation, I'm going to just call it the opening up to things. The opening up to things, chaos becomes fascinating. Wow! And in this swirl, I think I am sitting. In the swirl, I'm sitting. Now what happens is, generally, that starts to wobble. That idea, that fixation, belief, perception, call it what you will, that I'm sitting in here, it starts to wobble. Wait a minute. Maybe all that ancient stuff about emptiness and there's nothing here that's solid, and there's no I, me, or mine, except an idea. Maybe it's true. But that's another thought. Things are wobbling. I'm not falling over. The cat did not knock me over, although I thought it might. Ooh, my goodness. Things are opening up. They're really opening up. wow, they're really opening up. I say I'm opening up. Here it comes again. The individual perception. I am opening up. Are you opening up? Is the body opening up? The mind's opening up. Senses opening up. Emotion opening up. Maybe the heart's opening up. My heart. Really? You sure? Well, it's not yours. Yours is over there. Notice that. Yours is over there. Your heart's in there. My heart's in here. Your heart. Oh, your heart. Wonderful heart. Love to see your heart. These ascriptions, these sacred cows of human attachments run life for so many of us. And the myth, the true myth of individuality, is rarely considered. So, the individual, myth or perception cannot awaken to completeness or wholeness because the individual perception is a contracted expression of that wholeness or completeness. So the individual can't get rid of him or herself because him or herself never existed. You can't get rid of something that never existed. But what about the idea that it exists as a something, more than an idea, let's say, or just an idea? The idea, the idea, the idea, over and over and over. So close together the idea arises that it seems like a solid idea. And by the way, if anybody finds the individual before the talk's over, or when the talk's over, please enlighten us as to where he, she is, so we can all learn. In my big toe, the individual sits. I can't find it. It's not in the sensation, it's not in the thought, it's not in the feeling, it's not in the sense perception, it's not in the seeing. None of that. Eyes just seeing, ears just hearing. Where's the individual that's doing that? No individual is doing that. It's just happening. So you might say, some of you might, how did this sense of individuality arise? What's its origin? What's its cause? Doesn't everything have a cause? What's its cause? Like, what's it doing here? Why is it so pervasive, agreed upon, assumed, and lived out? Oh, and might I add, a lovely, lovely question which cannot be answered. What happens to the perception of individuality when the body drops? And I don't mean for sleep. Actually, that would work too, when the body drops for last breath. Don't know, do we? It's a good mystery. Who set that up? A riddle. Tibetans also said, what you really are is not just too close to see, it's too profound. What does that mean? It means it cannot be conceptualized, it cannot be reached through thinking. Oh, but we think about it. Yeah? Boy, do we think about it. That's the myth of freedom. The individual can come into this wonderful goodness, harmonization, everything's sweet and rosy, everything comes up roses, no more sticky, nobody taking my recorder. Yeah, come on. It's not like that. It's not even my recorder. This isn't Ibby's house. This is not an arm. How about that? This is not an arm. Notice the concept. This is an arm and it's my arm. This is not an arm. In an instant, eyes could be open or closed. This becomes a field of sensation that is belonged by nobody. It's owned by nobody. To that is added the concept arm, hand, finger. Just like shirt, my shirt, pants, floor, bell, recorder. Boom, we name the whole thing and think we understand it. Notice how pervasive, how addictive, how totally blanketed through it all the idea or concept is. And meanwhile, sitting right there, sitting, yes, right there, you might say inside the concept, whatever the concept is, arm, head, Anna, body, woman, house, pillow, bell, recorder, name it all, right there is something direct, immediate, that transcends the language. What is that? What is that that transcends the language right there? It's the isness, it's the suchness of freedom, right there. Nothing special, but oh boy, it's also incredibly special. Totally ordinary and extraordinary at the same time. Why? Because the so-called opposites dissolve. Boom. They dissolve so powerfully that fire and ice go boom. They're not opposites. Mind can't get that, can it? Fire and ice? Boom. No opposition? That's what's going on here. You could call it internal combustion. This is an internal combustion engine of awakening. Or it's what you think it is, which is often the idea of you. I am this. Notice that. Notice how difficult it would to be able to say from your mind, I'm not this. I'm not this. Just to try to talk yourself into that. I am not this. Or talk yourself into the view that there is no individual. What that reveals is how pervasive and habitual the view that there's an individual sitting here in this body is. There's a much simpler, you might call it path, but it's not really a path because a path suggests you're going somewhere, doesn't it? Okay, let's change that. A much more specific and direct point. That's a problem too, you know why? Because the point suggests, boom, right there. Like it's fixed, it's confined, it's defined. It's not that either. It's not a path, it's not a point. What is it then? It's actually what's happening right now before any of it is named. Get that? Before any of this is named, what's this? And that's what Buddhism, now we have to have a word, right? So we call it suchness, or isness. That opens, but it's not interesting enough for the so-called individual. I need something to do. I gotta go. Desire comes up. Somebody calls. Somebody steals my recorder. Gotta go to work. gotta negotiate, gotta make my money, you know, keep it going, pay attention to the money that I've made, give away money if I have it to give away, I gotta do stuff. And lo and behold, the cat pops up behind the sofa, just like the individual pops up again and goes, I'm back. You forgot about me, didn't you? But I'm back. Hi. So, is there a conclusion to this? Because I want to stop and let you talk. Hear what you have to say. Respond, question. Let's see if there's a conclusion, though. Oh, yes. It would be ignorance. It would be more illusion. More delusion. More confusion. To falsely assume that the individual perception is a problem. A problem. It needs to kind of go away. It's in the way, although you heard that, didn't you, at one point? Earlier in the talk? Mm-hmm. The individual perception,
veils.
Even the words, yeah?
Veils.
Hmm. Oh, but when you hear that, which is the truth, the individual then goes, oh, I'm in the way, I'm veiling liberation, so now I have to do something to change that. Huh. Now this is really screwed around, backwards, over, and under, because if the individual perception doesn't actually point to anything that could work on resolving itself, from its selfness or veiledness, what are we talking about? This is really, really key. Okay? In the myth, yeah, of freedom. Because what happens is, as the myth of freedom is exposed, the myths, I put a plural to it, the myths of freedom are exposed, what happens is freedom starts to manifest and nobody's manifesting it. Nobody's manifesting it. And then it, you might say, percolates, if that's the word that you like, or distills or opens out into, oh, it's the way it's always been. That's the always. And then the already truth. Always already. And I thought something else. I believed something else. Now, is there any confusion anywhere in anyone's so-called brain? Any confusion? Yeah? Okay. We could explore that because that's the individual perception trying to figure out what's being said here. Yeah? And if that individual perception needs to get confused, it's going to get confused. It gets clear about itself and then it gets confused about itself. Don't forget now, nobody can find it. So what's going on there? It's just thoughts. It's feelings. It's the same thing I pointed to when we stopped sitting together quietly. Was body sitting in a room? Feelings happening? Sounds? Sight now, the eyes open? Thoughts? Awareness? That's what's going on.
Aren't the ideas ising?
Yes, they are. Good point. Everything's ising. Everything's ising. ising.
That's a good one.
I like the isness.
Yeah, it's a good one. It really, it points in a nice way. Do you feel that space? Okay, so before anything is named, okay, we'll do it in sort of the backward step kind of Zen thing. Before anything's named, okay, what is this? What's here? So the little smile comes, it's like, simple. And if that sort of resonates, then we could say, what is there to figure out? You know, what is there to do? What is there to become? And the answer is nothing. Now that's really useful because then this thing tends to feel, you might say, I could give it a word like that, feel freer to just happen. Because what inhibits this more than anything really is the idea that I'm in here. I'm in here. I have to protect me, I have to prove me, and I have to get you to agree with me, and I have to get you to like me, and I have to get you to love me. And the thing is, I want you to forget about me, but love me first, and then forget about me. To be found, and right down it goes. And it's all idea. Is it? Thank you. So what else? Any other confusions?